To look on Ruth Coker Burks, you would see a middle-aged woman from, you know, middle class, from a quiet suburb. Young grandmother in her mid-50s. But between 1984 until about the mid-90s, Miss Burks was a sort of an angel of mercy for a large group of people. And it all started one day while she was in the hospital waiting for a friend who was going through procedures. And this was 1984, and she saw that the door was covered with a red bag. And she saw nurses drawing straws to see who were going to go into that room. And she kind of figured it out. This was back in the early days where we started becoming aware of, well, then it was called GRID, gay-related immune deficiency, or which we know as HIV/AIDS today. And in those days, people were, if you all remember, people were extremely afraid. And so people who were often diagnosed with it were quickly shunned by family and friends. And so she knew what the red bag symbolized, even though she had never really met anybody with it before that she knew of. And so as the nurses were going back, for some reason, she went in and she started talking to the young man who was emaciated, near death, and she stayed with him until he died a few hours. Complete stranger to her. Never met this man in her life, but she stayed with him, and she found out he had nobody because his mother had washed her hands of him. Nobody wanted him. And so she had to call around to various crematoriums because back then, crematoriums wouldn't even take somebody. And she found somebody who would take him, and then no cemetery would take the ashes. So she brought him to her family plot, and she got a friend who was a potter who gave her a chipped cookie jar. And she buried, you know, this person who had been a stranger to her until a few hours before his death in her father's grave. And after that, throughout the next few years, she would bury 40 other men in 40 other chipped cookie jars in her family plot. Along with that, she took care of hundreds of others, making sure that they got to their appointments, helping them to fill out the needed paperwork, collecting medication, creating fundraisers. And as I said, this was a person who, until that moment she was waiting in that room, had never thought about becoming, as she said, an advocate for anybody. And when she was asked what made her go into that room, she said, it could be curiosity, but I felt like I was driven in, that I was brought in and led by a higher power. And I can really believe that. You know, she said a higher power. I call it the Holy Spirit. But a person who, up until that moment, had, as we might say, no dog in the race, ended up, for the next 10, 12 years, dedicating her life to making sure that those who were being shunned by their family and friends and society as a whole had someone who they could count on, someone they knew loved them, in spite of being made to feel unlovable. She helped people that were being treated as non-human to feel as if they were family. And all because she felt drawn by a power higher than ourselves. Now, this is Trinity Sunday, and this is the day in which we honor the three faces of our Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is also the day when many of my colleagues were probably committing all sorts of heresies, trying to explain the unexplainable. And I always figure Augustine of Hippo, one of the great theologians of our time, early church, wrote this wonderful book called The Trinity. And in modern book, it's about 1,000 pages long, and I was studying this as an undergraduate, and I realized that by the time we got through that book, and I've looked at that book a few times, and I realized in 1,000 pages, the most brilliant theologian ever came up with the fact of, well, it's a mystery. So I'm not going to try to spend in 10 minutes trying to explain the whole Trinity to you. But what I will talk to you a little bit about the Holy Spirit, who we are told today in our gospel, Jesus was going to send to his disciples. Again, he is preparing them to move on, to continue the ministry, to become the church after he ascends. And he explains to them, you don't understand all that I've taught you already, and there are other things you need to know, but you're not ready for them. But the Spirit will come upon you. And as we know, last week when we celebrated Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon those early disciples. The church was born. An understanding was brought into their heart, and a new ministry began. And how that ministry was recognized different to different people. People went to different parts of the world proclaiming the good news and speaking into terms, not only language, but in terms other people could understand, to bring them to the understanding of Christ. But it also brought them together to serve one another in ways they never believed they could. And I believe the Holy Spirit still works within us today. Like they did with Ruth Coker Burks in the 80s when she was led into that room, I believe that the Spirit continues to work to bring us into situations that we never thought we would go into, to lead us into doing works and ministry that we don't think ourselves capable of, introducing us to groups of people whom we never expected to meet. I believe the Holy Spirit still leads us, still calls us, still is working among us. But I think what is the difference is whether we are willing to listen, to follow, and sometimes get out of the way and let God do what God is calling us to do. To put away our fears, our doubts, and to trust. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been to a church where the Holy Spirit has, where it feels like there's no Spirit there anymore. People are just sort of showing up, going through, you know, the motions. You know, they show up on Sunday at the time they're supposed to show up on Sundays. They say the prayers they're supposed to say. They do the songs, the hymns, as they've been singing for years. And then they kind of go on to their lives. Maybe they'll have a coffee and donut before they go. Fortunately, this is not one of those churches. This is a church that, yes, we still get together at the appointed time. Yes, we still read the readings and the prayers, sing the hymns, and, you know, have the donuts and the bagels with the coffee afterwards. But it doesn't end there. We continue with the work. Now, sometimes the Spirit is really plain in what we're being called to do. At other times, it's very quiet. At other times, the Spirit comes like a big wind or basically a slap on the back of the head. But the thing is that we, as individuals and as a community, are open to it. to listen to what God is saying to us, allowing the Holy Spirit to shape us, to guide us, to lead us, to bring us to those places we never expected to go, to introduce us to those people we never thought we wanted to know. The church is a living being. The gospel, or the writings of Paul, often speak of the church as a bride. And as something that is living, it's always evolving, it's always changing. Yes, there's a part of it that always remains what it was. But it always is moving forward. The love of God is unconditional and unchanging. But how God is calling us to proclaim that love changes. As followers of Christ, as those early disciples, we await and we listen. We open our hearts. But most important is that we move. Sometimes there is times of stillness in the church, but it's always followed with action, with that doing. Now, in the last 2 years, believe it or not, it's been over, it's been just now a little over 2 years since I first came here to do supply. That one Sunday, and I guess that was one of those Holy Spirit moments, never expected to stay here. I mean, be honest, until basically I got a call, I didn't, Yaupank was just a sign on the, on 27. But in those 2 years of being called here, first to do supply and then as your vicar, I've seen so many wonderful things happen. People being taken care of, such as our veterans, our children learning all sorts of wonderful things, involvement in programs and ministry, and just day-to-day interactions. The thing is that the Spirit sometimes calls us to do great work, but most of what happens in the church goes unnoticed. It seems very small, but it is as important as any great gesture. On this Trinity Sunday, as we recognize God as our Father, God as our Son, and God as Spirit, I encourage you to open your hearts, to continue to listen to what God is saying through the Spirit, to remain willing, and when necessary, step out of the Spirit's way. We're not through here. We have a lot of work to do here in this small patch here in Suffolk County, as well as the larger world. So my brothers and sisters, like Ruth Coker Burks so many years in 1984 did, I encourage you also to just open your heart and answer that call, no matter how unusual, no matter how odd, uncomfortable. Because one of the things I've realized about the Holy Spirit, if you open yourself up, people, is that you know when the Spirit is talking to you. You know when it's the Spirit's voice. And I encourage you, before of all else, to listen and to follow, to make a difference, not only here on Sundays, but in the whole world, to show that the love of God is available to all people, that the good news of Christ is alive and well, and that the Spirit has not stopped. So let yourself go, let yourself be, and hold on to your hats.